turn in your Bibles this morning to the second book of the Bible, second book of the Old Testament, Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. I want to read to you about some dangerous toils and snares. That hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton wrote in the third verse, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me on or home." Yes, I want to read to you about some dangers and toils and battles that God's people had on this occasion, on one occasion. It's recorded in Exodus 17, beginning in verse 8. Going to read verses 8 through 14, the Lord willing, of Exodus chapter 17. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand.' And Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.'" If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Exodus 17, 8 through 14. Dangers, battles, troubles. God brought Israel through this. It says that Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. Praise the Lord for that. God, bless the reading of your word and bless the preaching of the word. I pray to every one of us this morning. We need it, Lord. Help us. Amen. For background, brethren, we're in the book of Exodus. That tells you something, doesn't it? Exodus tells us about the deliverance of the children of Israel, literally Israelites, Hebrews, from Egyptian bondage. That's what that book is about. And the giving of the law somewhat, but the travels of God's people. They were slaves in Egypt. God delivered them. They were powerless to deliver themselves. God said to Moses, who was on the backside of the desert, he was a shepherd, he had grown up in Egypt, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was a Hebrew, he was under a death sentence. His mother, on direction of God, placed him in that little ark, you know the story. His sister took him down, they put him in the edge of the river. Pharaoh's daughter saw him, took him in. He grew up as a prince in Egypt, but he identified with God and the people of God. And one day he killed an Egyptian who was beating on a Hebrew, and he had to run for his life. And he went away a distance and was keeping his father-in-law's sheep backside of the desert. God came to him. He said, "I've heard the cry of my people in bondage in Egypt. You go back to Egypt and you say to Pharaoh, 'Let my people go.'" I paraphrased all that, but that's the way the history is. Moses went after some encouragement from God. He didn't feel worthy. He didn't want to go, but he needed to go, and God knew it, and God sent him. And he went before Pharaoh, and he said, "God says, let my people go." There's a picture there of us in bondage, and God saying to Satan, "We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're slaves to sin. and our own selves with a hard taskmaster like the Israelites were in Egypt. And God says, you're free. I'm going to free you. He freed the Israelites. Not before he had to show his mighty power to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's advisors and the Egyptians. 10 plagues, you remember them. The last was the most awful, the death of the firstborn. And Pharaoh had said over and over, I will not let you go. And after the last plague, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh not only said, I will let you go, but not only I will let you go, but go, please go, please go. At one point, the advisors of Pharaoh said, Pharaoh, don't you know we're all dead men? God was putting it on them, brethren. He was taking them to task. And so now they've been released from this Egyptian bondage. They have spoiled the Egyptians. The Israelites were told, borrow from your neighbors. They borrowed. They borrowed gold, silver, jewels, as I understand it. They borrowed. And it was somewhat like payback. They'd been slaves, and they deserved to get what they could, and they got it. And they came out, and under God's mighty hand, they've now crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh, God says, I'm going to get honor over you. Pharaoh, after that last terrible plague, he still said, I regret letting them go. Let's go get them. Let's bring them back. My words. But that's what he was thinking. He went and had them hemmed up between the Red Sea and his army. And God said, stand still. See my glory. I'll fight for you. God opened the Red Sea. They crossed it on dry land. Pharaoh's army followed. And they drowned. And so they are now traveling on to Canaan, the promised land. How many Sundays of late have I given you those promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the promise of the land of Canaan? I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you this land. They're now traveling to that land. And they come, brethren, to a place called Rephidim. We're told in the first verses of chapter 17 about there was no water for the people to drink. The people chide with Moses. They murmur against Moses. They say, you brought us out here to kill us and our children and our cattle. Moses cries to God. God says, take the rod that you had in Egypt, take the rod of God and strike the rock. And Moses did so, and water came out. And that rock was stricken, and healing water, salvation came from that rock in a weary desert land. Then verse 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel. It may not be in chronological order here that Amalek fought with Israel after the water from the rock, because we read, I want to read to you in Deuteronomy 25, just a couple of verses about this. This is probably 40 years later. They're about to go into the promised land. They've wandered in the wilderness because of disobedience for many years. It's a very fairly short journey, I'm told, to the promised land. But because of their disobedience and their lack of trust in God, they made it a long journey. Deuteronomy 25, 17 and 18, Moses is speaking to God's people about Amalek. He's saying, recall this. Think back. Remember this. And he says this, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. They're just coming out of Egypt. I don't think it's been but about maybe 2 months, somewhere in there, several weeks. They're out now and they're attacked physically. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary. Do you remember what Amalek did? Moses says to the people. So Amalek apparently attacked when the people were faint and weary. And the verses in chapter 17, the first verses say there was no water. The people were upset. They murmured. Apparently, they were faint and weary. And then Amalek shows up. Verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Oh, they had their problems. There was a lack of food. They wanted bread. They lacked water. But they had not been at least physically attacked up to this point. But now comes a warrior with his men, and they physically attack the Israelites. And that couple of verses I just read to you from Deuteronomy says he attacked the weak and the faint. He attacked those apparently from the rear. He came upon them and attacked them. There's an attack described in verse 8. The reaction now in verse 9. The reaction of the children of Israel, the reaction of Moses, the reaction of God. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. I started to say that's going to be the title of today's message, fight with Amalek. And I think that's an appropriate title. At the beginning of the chapter, my Bible has a little captions about what this chapter is about. And this one in my Bible says, Amalek Overcome. That's a good title too. But I think I like fight with Amalek better. Amalek attacks unprovoked. Children of Israel doing nothing but journeying on their way to the land of Canaan. But Amalek attacks. So Moses says to Joshua, a word about Joshua, brethren. I don't know if this is the first time he's mentioned or not in the Bible. I don't know. But he was one of those 12 spies. Remember that? Joshua and Caleb were the two most famous of the spies. They're the two who said, we can do it. We can take the land. The other 10 said, we cannot. Joshua also, what's that famous battle that he fought down the road going into Canaan? Joshua in the battle of what? Great walled city, Jericho, right? Same Joshua. Same Joshua. Moses calls Joshua and he says, choose us out men. Joshua was Moses' minister. The Bible commentator I read about when I was studying this said that Moses recognized that he was a brave soul. He was a courageous man. So Moses goes to Joshua, his minister, and says, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Fight. I don't want to get ahead of myself, brethren, but you know what? The Christian warfare is described as. It's described as a fight, as a warfare. Christian warfare. And I'm going to get to that, God willing, in a little bit. But this is a hand-to-hand combat right here with swords and spears. Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. He's attacked us, go fight him. And then Moses says, tomorrow, verse 9, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. The top of the hill, the commentators say that was Mount Horeb, which is also Mount Sinai. They're about a couple of chapters over. They're going to get the law at Mount Sinai. They're maybe at Mount Sinai. Not sure, but they're close. But the commentators say when Moses said, I'm going to go up on the hill, he's really saying, I'm going up Mount Sinai. And Joshua and the men that he picks out are going to be able to see Moses up there. They're going to see him with the rod of God in my hand. Now, brethren, nothing magical about or powerful about the rod of God, except that it was God's presence and God's power that was manifest in and by that rod. Moses had used it in Egypt to strike the water and it was turned to blood. He'd used it to wave it over the... He used it a lot of ways. I can't think now. They picked up ashes and threw them up and they became lice. He waved it over the land. I think thunder and hail came. He used the rod. He threw it down before Pharaoh. It became a serpent. He picked it up. Became a rod again. So he still got that rod. And he used that rod. God said to Moses, go before the people. Take with thee elders of Israel. Verse 5. And thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. That's a picture, brethren, of your Lord and Savior Jesus being smitten and the blood and coming forth to save you and me. Salvation in that. That's the rod. So Moses said, you fight with him, and I'm going up with the rod of God in my hand. That had to be good news to Joshua. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. First, we've heard of Hur, I believe. We've heard of Aaron already. Aaron, Moses' brother. Some say that Hur was the child of Miriam, Moses' sister. Don't know. Some say he was Miriam's husband, maybe. I don't know. Doesn't matter for our purposes right now. Three men of God went up on Mount Horeb. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. The rod of God in his hand, he held it up. The Israelites below could see. They could see Moses, Aaron, and Hur. They could see the rod of God. It was like a banner they were fighting under, the power of God. It encouraged them. They trusted in God. They'd seen his power. They'd seen what God could do and did do for them. And they prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a wonderful historical thing? And there are spiritual lessons in that. When I carry grandbabies now, when I carried my own babies, and I was much younger and much stronger, but still I had to do this. I carried one like this for a while. After a while, I'd say, baby, get over here, switch over. And you know, babies, they learn that. They know what you're doing when you start. They start grabbing a hold over here. Our arms get weary, don't they? I was going to say to you, don't do it now, but this afternoon, in your house or outside, stand up, hold your arm up. See how long you can hold it up. Because the Word of God tells us that Moses' hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Hours that battle went on. And so Moses' hands were heavy. So, verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they, that would be Aaron and Hur, took a stone and put it under him. A stone. We read in the New Testament that that rock that followed the children of Israel, brethren, was Christ. The stone that Moses struck in the desert was Christ. The water poured forth and there was salvation in it. Jesus is our rock. The Lord's our rock. In him we stand, a shelter in the time of storm. They took a stone, brethren, and put it under him, and he sat thereon. That stone is a stumbling block to unbelievers, a rock of offense. But to us, it's a sacred, safe place, a foundation, a firm foundation. Moses sat on the stone. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. I love that. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. They stood beside him. He sat on a stone and they stood beside him and they held his arms up. Why? Because the rod of God needed to be raised. Some say that raising up his hands, Moses was a great man of prayer. I don't argue with that. He's praying. He's got to, needs his arms lifted up. And the banner, the rod of God, the banner needs to be lifted up to encourage the fighters below in the struggle, in a death struggle. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. This wasn't just a 30 minutes or an hour, brethren. It was an all-day thing, I think. At least half a day, probably all day. Verse 13, the result, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Where'd he get swords from? Well, I'll give you what one man thought. He said when the Egyptians were drowned, it says in there somewhere that they saw them dead on the seashore. That was the army of Egypt, dead. And he suggests that the Israelites went back and plundered them and got swords, got weapons off of them, because they sure probably didn't bring many, if any, out of Egypt. Maybe that's where they got them from. But they fought with swords, and they discomfited, and they defeated the Amalekites. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Now, why would he say that? Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Go over it. Remind him of it. Write it in a book. For a while, I think I told y'all, for a while I journaled for a while. And I was going through some pretty tough times, and I started a journal. And later on, I went back and read some of that stuff, and it encouraged me. I remember I said, oh, I'd forgotten about that. But then I read about it, it reminded me, and then I read on, and I had written how God delivered me out of it and blessed me. Joshua, 40 years from now that we're reading about, he's going to cross the Jordan at flood stage and go over and fight a great walled city, Jericho. Imagine he looked back on this time, remembered it back. He might have got out the book and read it. Said, oh yeah, that was 40 years ago. That was the time when Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up, and Moses got tired of holding the rod up. We were doing good when he held it up. When he let it down, all of a sudden we realized the momentum has shifted. And then we look, and Aaron and Hur are holding him up, holding his arms up, and we defeated him. Write this in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Oh, what a Christian history lesson right there. Do you know what? What we're told, that the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. Sort of like the verse I quote to you all the time, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us. Another way of saying that, a different way of saying, a similar thought is, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. What can we learn from this? It's a wonderful lesson, isn't it? It's a good lesson to teach your children and grandchildren. One of the many heroes of the Bible where God saved his people and delivered them through many dangers, toils, and snares. And this is one of them. Well, as always, there's spiritual lessons in this. The Word of God is a spiritual word to a spiritual people. And I've been pondering this week about spiritual lessons in these verses. I want to give you some of my thoughts. Amalek attacked the children of Israel, God's chosen people, on their journey. There is no record anywhere that says Israel attacked Amalek to start with. There's no record that says they passed through their country and stole from them. They did anything to aggravate them except they are journeying from Egypt to Canaan. God's people. Brethren, I want to tell you, that's enough for the world to attack you. Just the fact that you belong to God and you love God and you're serving God and not the world. Satan attacks God's people today. Spiritual Israel. When I read in that, I don't know when John Gill wrote his commentary, but I read it, and he writes about the children of Israel, and then he'll start writing and he'll use the term spiritual Israel. That means us. We're spiritual Israel. Paul the Apostle in Romans, we're studying Romans on Sunday nights. He says, a Jew is not one outwardly, but one inwardly who's been circumcised of the heart. He's got a new heart. He's got a soft heart. He's got a fleshly heart that God's given him. He's taken the stony heart away and giving him a fleshly heart. Fleshly in the sense that it's alive. Satan attacks you and me today. He's our adversary. Brother Ralph quoted this morning, Satan as a roaring lion walketh to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. You have an adversary, brethren, simply because you belong to God. What do? He attacks whenever he can. He often attacks us when we're weak. Like I read to you about in Deuteronomy, Moses said, don't forget, you were weak, you were weary, you were faint. Satan gets on the attack, especially then. I wanted to tell you, Jan fixes my medicine for me. And in, I think it's the night, little box I take at night, there's a pill about this big. It's a vitamin. She don't want me to get faint and weak and weary because she knows I get sick when that happens. Little picture of spiritual battle. We need to stay strong spiritually. When our resistance is good, we're better able to withstand. When our resistance is good, Satan doesn't attack. or at least not as often, but when it's not as good, he comes. He attacks. As we read from Deuteronomy, he attacked the weak and the faint of our group, Moses said. What do we do? What do we do when Satan attacks? We fight back. Fight, fight, fight. Don't give up. Don't surrender. You're not alone. We read in these verses, we're not alone. There's help. Joshua was going down into the battle for hand-to-hand combat, but he knew there was help above. He knew there was help from the Lord. He knew that Moses would be up there with the rod of God. He was fighting under the banner of God. You fight back, brethren. You fight the enemy. Moses said, I will help you. There's help for your battles, brethren. There's help for my battles. You are not on your own. There's help in that wilderness in which we live. The rod of God, there's power. It was used in Egypt, and it's now used in the wilderness. The same God that delivered his people in the wilderness. From Egypt to the wilderness, every battle, God was able, if they look to him for his power and deliverance, he would deliver them. Joshua trusted Moses and the power of God when he went into battle. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up as promised. When God fights, we prevail. Moses held his arms up, they prevailed. He let them down, they suffer. When God fights, brethren, we prevail. We get weary in battle. Moses got weary. His hands got heavy. He needed the help of brethren. There's a lot of lessons in this. There'll be stuff in it you see, I don't see. I'll give you my thoughts. Moses' hands were heavy. We get weary in battle. He needed the brethren. He had brethren to come alongside him. That's a reason, brethren, to when you need prayer, when you're struggling, you go to your brother. You don't have to tell him all the details. You can if you want. You just say, I need you to pray for me. Help me. Get on the prayer list at church. Go to a brother, one-on-one, whatever. Don't fight it alone. We can take you before the throne of grace, and we want to because we love you. We need the help of the brethren. They came alongside Moses. We come alongside you. Another thing I see in those two men, brethren, are two things that you and I should do when we face the battles that we face. Two things, one on one side, one on the other. Here they are. Word of God and prayer. Word of God and prayer. Joshua fought with a literal sword. In Ephesians, we're talking about the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And it says at the end, in Ephesians 6:17, take with you the sword into your battle. The sword. Paul says, our battle, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight the spiritual battles. He says, take the sword of the Spirit. He says, which is, you don't have to wonder what that is, the Word of God. Take the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Commit it to memory. Study it, brethren. Know, when you enter into battle, when Satan attacks you, you think about Joshua in that battle, where Moses was up on the mountain with the rod of God. You think of that, and you think of his success. You remember it. The Word of God on one side, prayer on the other. In Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul is describing all those pieces of armor that we're to put on, when he describes all those things, breastplate of righteousness, girdle of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. There may be more. There's a bunch of them. He says, after he dresses us all out and he enables us for the fight, he says, praying always. Don't just put those things on and say, here I go, I'm going to win. You better put them on, but you better be praying too. Word of God on one side, prayer on the other. I can't think of another thing, brethren, to do when you are going into battle, or a better thing. Word of God, sword of the Spirit, the Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. And that will steady you, brethren, until the going down of the sun. I've been in battles with Satan that lasted seconds. Seconds, because I just didn't even miss a step. I quoted the Word of God And I moved right on through it, and he left me. I trampled him underfoot. I've been in battles with Satan that lasted hours, days, weeks. It's tough, and you have too, probably. But when the going down of the sun comes, brethren, if you've got the Word of God in prayer, you will prevail. It may be hours, it may be days, it may be months. Another way to look at this is, brethren, when the sun goes down on my life, I will, as the Apostle Paul says, hopefully have fought the good fight and finished my course. And I hope you will. Hope you won't be taken captive. Hope you won't be slain and be a victim. Word of God, prayer, sword of the Spirit in prayer. Remember this, for the battle, till the going down of the sun, enter into it with the Word of God. And prayed up, know that Satan will attack. Remember these scriptures from the book of Exodus. Remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You serve the same God as did Aaron, Hur, Moses, Joshua, and his men. Same God. He's delivered you from bondage. Satan would retake you, just like Pharaoh would catch up with him and try to retake him. But you got to fight, brethren. You got to fight the battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Is my prayer. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this lesson in history, Christian history. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you delivered us, oh God. In this picture, Lord, this account of this battle, oh God, may we learn lessons that we might fight our battles, oh God. Look into you, the author and finisher of our faith, standing on the rock that is Jesus, claiming his word and in prayer, going forward to defeat the enemy. Give us, O God, the victory. We pray in His Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you love God and want to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ here, come forward as we stand and sing this invitation hymn.